Let's get this party started.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me, my trusty old Red Rider Carbine Action 2 on the Shot Range Model Air Rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to episode, I don't know, of the Total Christmas Podcast. It's great to have you here. Let's start off with the interactive bit. How are you?
Well, I'm good.
Good, Jack. Thanks for inviting us.
I'm good. What? There's not normally people. What? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for turning out. Have you had a good week? How's things?
Well, I've had a good week. Yeah, thanks for inviting us onto our podcast.
You're putting on my podcast. You had the intro. You had the intro, Dwayne. My podcast.
But the intro before your intro was our intro.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That was the bit before the theme music. You know, every episode I do the bit before the theme music.
Yes, yes.
Yes, right, so.
Now everyone's confused.
Can I establish what we're here to talk about?
Yes, you can.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so it's going to start off with the quiz, and then I've got some other stuff, and I'll probably talk about A Christmas Carol. Then I'll probably do some more drinking. Can you take over, Scott, or Dwayne?
Yeah, or how about we talk about a song?
Nah.
Dwayne, we decided to have this very confusing introduction because this week we're going to do the song What's This from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
What's this?
And I can't hear that song without hearing the introduction to the Total Christmas Podcast. How about you?
That's exactly the same. Every time I, especially with researching the song, every time I heard the song, I just thought of Jack's podcast. So I thought, let's have Jack on. So here he is.
And here I am, look, in the flesh.
In the flesh.
Yeah, it took us all year to save up enough money to afford Jack's fee, but we're here. And every time I hear, what is this? I hear Robin's voice right after.
Yeah.
It's the Total Christmas Podcast.
Was that your Peppa Pig impression?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was your daughter's Peppa Pig in my head, yes.
When I watched the film last year, that was when it was, because the girls just kept watching it last year. And every time he says, the last, what's this? I was just waiting for Robin to pipe up. Mm-hmm. And she never did. She just sat there watching it.
Oh.
There you go.
Aren't your kids a little young to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas?
I don't know.
They're not scared of
it? I'm a bad parent, Scott. You know that.
No. This wasn't a knock at your parenting. It was more a question of, are they scared?
I don't know. Let them deal with that, Scott.
Have they had nightmares since?
Yeah, but only before Christmas.
Oh.
Send him home.
So, Dwayne, you suggested this song, and I was a little hesitant at first because I don't know about you, but I don't like it when Christmas podcasts start veering into different lanes for different holidays. And I was like, oh, is this too much Halloween? I think this particular song, though, is going to be okay because this is one of the more Christmassy songs in the soundtrack for The Nightmare Before Christmas.
It is. I like the fact that it's quite Christmas-centric. It's probably the most centric one on, you know, in the movie.
I think so, too.
And I think a couple of years ago, I did an album that was Nightmare Before Christmas by other artists, and that was quite the stray from the podcast. So, yeah, I thought this will just keep it within the Christmas realm.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, so we're not going to go farther than two blocks off of Main Street here, but we're going to talk about The Nightmare Before Christmas. Before we do that, Dwayne, do you have any mailbag and listener comments?
I do. So on last month's episode, when I put a post up on Facebook, we had four comments. So the first one is from Lenora Gilbert. And of course, as we keep mentioning, Lenora is a great fan of the podcast and most of the other podcasts as well.
Super fan, Lenora Gilbert. Yeah.
Super fan. Yeah.
She don't listen to my one.
Mm-mm. Are you sure?
No, she has taste.
I've only got three listeners, Dwayne. You know that.
Oh, that's right. Two of them are here.
Yeah. Oh, you're down from four. Yeah, Lenora dropped out.
So she goes, thanks to Glenn for sharing this song. She'd never heard it before.
Oh, that was Miss Fogarty's Christmas Cake.
That was the one. And she put three Christmas tree emojis.
Jack, were you familiar with that song before you heard it with us?
Not at all. No, never heard of it before. Not very Christmassy, but I liked it.
No, it was fun. It was a little cheeky.
So the next comment was from the Advent Calendar House. It goes, Scott, don't feel bad. There is no way you could have known the how you pronounce Skullskill is actually pronounced Skullskill.
Skullskill, is that what he said? Yeah. That's the town in Pennsylvania I think we were talking about in the last episode.
Yeah, SKOOKLE.
Good golly. Yeah, that's the way I pronounce it.
Yeah.
I knew we had it. Benjamin Hall said, excellent episode, adding to the Irish Rover version to my playlist. And I've added that as well.
That was a good version.
Yep. And finally, Nicholas Linsman, I'll be listening tomorrow morning and a tick emoji.
All right.
That's good. So it'd be interesting to hear what Nicholas thought of the episode.
And I don't know about you, Dwayne, the YouTube algorithm thinks I'm all in on Irish music now. I wish there was a way to watch something and say, look,
yeah,
I'm just watching something here. Don't make it part of my life. But you can't do that.
So that was all the feedback we had this month. So keep it up. Don't forget to either comment on the posts if you see them or send an email to tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, everybody, for writing in. It's always fun to hear from people. Guys, I thought what we should do, because we have a habit, Dwayne, of going about 15 minutes before we start playing any music at all. And I feel like for a music podcast, that's kind of a sin. So I thought we could play a clip from What's This from The Nightmare Before Christmas before we go any further. Do you think that's all right?
I think that's perfect.
Okay. So this is off of the official soundtrack version. We're going to have other ones today, and we're really rolling the dice on this one. It looks like Universal Music Group owns the rights to this one, and they're the most litigious bunch. So we're going to see what happens. You might be hearing this in the future, and there's going to be a little voice clip from me that says, oh, there used to be a song here, but then they made us take it down. So here we go.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look, what's this? The hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! They're gathering around a hairy story, roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this?
So that was the official soundtrack version. Obviously, that was Danny Elfman singing. I want to know from both of you guys, what's your history with this song? We'll let Jack go first because he's our distinguished guest. And also, you've pirated most of this for the intro to your podcast. And I want to hear the story of how that came to be.
Oh, it's an eye.
Is it because your name's Jack and so is the guy in the movie? It didn't dawn on me until yesterday that that's actually the case.
I know. And there's a bit where he says, wake up, Jack. And I feel like no one ever says that to me. Or not often enough. Just, I'd like that as the quote. Do you know what I mean? Is my wife using it from the song?
Yeah, I'll start incorporating that towards the end of the show, okay? Wake up, Jack!
As long as you do.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? I always remember when this film came out back in 93, I was desperate to see it at the cinema and I never did, but I remember seeing the trailers all the time and I just loved the look of it so much. It just looks that, because that was the clip you'd always see on TV was the What's This song.
Okay.
When they were promoting it, unless it was the full trailer, you know.
I don't remember it. You and I are the same age. I don't remember much of seeing the trailers on TV. And I also remember I was probably junior in high school. At the time, I don't know what they call that over on your side of the pond, but mostly it was just the weird kids that saw this movie when it first came out. It didn't have much of a following, and it wasn't that popular at first.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, obviously in the UK, it was everywhere.
I guess you were one of the weird kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, actually, because I never got to see it. Maybe I wasn't weird enough. I wanted to, okay. Never happened, but I just desperately wanted to see it so badly. I ended up watching it the next Christmas, hiring it from Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster Kids? No, not kids. Remember Blockbuster Grown-Ups? Yeah.
That's right. People with knee and back problems. Do you remember Blockbuster?
That's it. Yeah. And do you know what? The funny thing is, when I watched it, I didn't love it as much as I thought I would. But now I absolutely adore it. The song itself is definitely my favorite song from the whole film. And I think what I like about it, because I love Christmas. I'm not a huge Halloween fan. I like Halloween. But that's the one song that really is Christmas based.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Dwayne said it earlier. It's the most Christmassy song. I hadn't seen the movie until last year.
Wow. Where have you been?
No, sort yourself out.
Well, yeah. It's the peer pressure from your show, Jack. I don't know. It was just never high on my list. And eventually I thought, you know, I really need to see this. It's a fine movie, but it's not one of my must watches. I've never decided to go back and watch it again. I thought about it as we were putting together the notes for this, but didn't get around to it. I do like seeing the little clips from it and the animation style, that stop motion. It's never really been my thing, so it doesn't do much for me.
Oh, no, man. No, I love stop motion. Like,
oh, I'm wrong? Okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah, I am saying you're wrong, but I'm not saying it specifically.
Yeah.
Like, you must like Rudolph. Surely you like Rudolph.
I like that, but...
No buts.
That's from the, what, probably the 60s. And it feels like that was the best they could do at the time. If it came out now, I don't know that I would love it. Does that make sense? Dwayne, can you weigh in on this?
It does make sense. I was just trying to think back when I first saw the film. It feels like I must have seen it when it came out, though I can't remember because it's been in our house for so long.
Yeah.
Around about 2000, my son was born in the year 2000. So shortly after that, I remember we had to go and babysit somebody else's children. And we ended up watching it on TV just with my son, who was a baby, so he didn't know what was going on. The young kids that we were babysitting, they were allowed to watch it, and then we watched it at the same time. So I think that's the first time I saw it, but it feels like I must have seen it even further back than that because it's just in our house. Every year we watch it. We've got Nightmare Before Christmas merch all through the house. It's not huge. I mean, I've got a Funko Pop here, and my son's got stuff in his room. My daughter had stuff when she was here. We've just immersed ourselves into that film quite a lot. Yet, yesterday when I said to my wife, I said, oh, can we watch that film just in preparation for today? And she said no.
What?
Yeah. So I'm thinking either just to get some context, she is actually on the couch. She broke her leg last week, so she probably just was tired and didn't really want to. It's one of those movies that can be annoying. At the same time, it's been really awesome. You know, when you're ill, you're sick, you're in pain, your tolerance level can get quite low, and what you like, all of a sudden you don't like anymore. And I think that's where she was coming from.
Yeah. It's like trying to listen to Jack's show with a cold. I can't do it.
My show cures colds, kids.
Yeah.
If I'm understanding what you're saying, Dwayne, it's you got to be in the right mood for the movie.
You do.
And she wasn't in the right mood for it. I get that.
And she wasn't. And I was a little bit disappointed, but we'll end up watching it at some point, especially as she gets better and more mobile, maybe to get away from the TV. Yeah, we'll end up watching it this season probably more than once.
Do you know what? I watch it every year, and every year, I swear, it feels like there's new scenes that I've forgotten. I feel like I get something new from it every year. So you should watch it again, Scott.
That's just senility.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
How dare you? How dare you?
Everything old seems new again. The older we get, the more things seem fresh.
That's not how it is, kids. Don't listen to him.
Let me go through the plot of the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. I don't think I need to say spoiler alert because this is the 30th anniversary of the film's release. So if you haven't seen it by now, all bets are off. The film takes place in Halloween Town, a fantasy world populated by various monsters and beings associated with the holiday. I'm reading this directly from Wikipedia, by the way. Jack Skellington, who is respected by the citizens as the Pumpkin King, leads them in organizing the annual Halloween celebrations, but he has grown tired of the same annual routine and wants something new. While wandering the woods the next morning, he encounters several trees containing doors leading to other holiday-themed worlds, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Independence Day, Valentine's Day, and St. Patrick's Day, and stumbles into a door leading to Christmas Town. Awed by the unfamiliar holiday, Jack returns home to show his friends and neighbors his findings, but unaware of the idea of Christmas, they compare everything to their ideas of Halloween. They do relate to one Christmas Town character, its ruler, Santa Claus, or Sandy Claus, as Jack mistakenly calls him. Jack sequesters himself in his house to study Christmas further and find a way to rationally explain it. After his studying and experimentation accomplish nothing, Jack ultimately decides that Christmas should be improved rather than understood and announces that Halloween Town will take over Christmas this year. And then shenanigans ensue. But that's the basic idea of what happens with the movie. As I mentioned, it was released in 1993, or maybe I didn't mention it, but it is the 30th anniversary of the release. I don't know a lot of these actors and directors beyond Tim Burton. So it was directed by Henry Selick, and it was produced and conceived by Tim Burton. Danny Elfman wrote the songs and the score. He provided the singing voice of Jack, but not the speaking voice. Principal voice cast was Chris Sarandon, Catherine O'Hara, William Hickey, Ben Page, Paul Rubens, isn't that Pee-wee?
Yep.
Glenn Shaddix, and Ed Ivory. Tim Burton wrote a short three-page poem when he was an animator with the Walt Disney Company, and they found it later after he was no longer an animator, so they were interested in making the movie long after he had pitched the idea. And Vincent Price, who was Tim Burton's childhood idol, he was supposed to be the voice of Santa Claus, but due to his wife's passing, it was recast for performance reasons. So that's the overall idea of the movie.
Yeah, there was actually, I've got the DVD, and one of the extras on it, this is, I don't know, maybe the 15-year mm-hmm. anniversary or something, one of the extras was actually the poem set to, like, 2D animation.
Oh!
Yeah, and I think it's read by Christopher Lee.
Oh, that's cool. Did the poem follow heavily in what we know to become The Nightmare Before Christmas, or does it just kind of feel loosely related?
It did, yeah, to begin with. I can't remember.
Well, it's been 15 yeah. years. I think we can give you a pass on that one.
Well, no, I still got the DVD. I just don't watch the extras. But I should know, but I don't. Kids, have a look on YouTube. It might be on there.
That's a good idea. Dwayne, are you a big fan of Danny Elfman?
Not really. However,
what?
What? I am when it comes to this movie, and I am when it comes to
Batman.
Yeah, Batman. Obviously, he wrote the theme for The Simpsons. I actually ended up watching some Oingo Boingo songs from, you know, his early days on YouTube in preparation, and I forgot that he'd done Weird Science.
Oh, yeah.
The theme song. Yeah, yeah. So that was probably the only non-film score that I remembered from Danny Elfman besides The Simpsons was Weird Science. So I'm not a huge fan, but I know some people like certain composers in movies. It doesn't bother me who the composer is as long as the music is good.
There are three in my mind, Dwayne. There's John Williams, Hans Zimmer, and Danny Elfman. Like, those are the big three for me. I wouldn't say, oh my gosh, yeah, Danny Elfman, everything he touched turns to gold. I don't know. Mm. He's very, very good, and he's done hundreds and hundreds of movies. But I think I've always found his stuff to be a little more weird, where John Williams, his stuff might be more mainstream. I don't know if I'm using good yeah. words for that, but that's kind of how I feel.
No, you are. I agree.
Okay.
When I was watching the Oingo Boingo stuff, that was weird. Some of that was very weird. And I can see how that would come through into his film scores.
Yeah, of the interviews I've seen with him, I don't think he's trying to be weird. I think he's just being himself. So
yep.
I respect that that's who he is. And it's not like he's putting on an act or a show. He's just a kind of weird dude. And I like that.
It's a perfect pairing, him and Tim Burton, really, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Dwayne, do you have some background on Danny Elfman?
I do. So, born Daniel Robert Elfman. He is a multi-award nominated and winning film producer, singer, songwriter, and musician based in America. He came to prominence as the lead singer and primary songwriter for the new wave band Oingo Boingo in the early 1980s, which we've mentioned. Also, as we mentioned, he wrote the theme for The Simpsons in 1989. And one of the little interviews that I watched from him was, he said, it pays for some medical bills, meaning he put the voice, when it goes, The Simpsons, that's him singing.
Oh.
And because he sung on that, he gets royalties.
Oh, wow. I brought a clip. If anyone's not familiar with The Simpsons intro, you're probably living under a rock, but I don't know if it has that little bit at the beginning because I didn't know that was his voice. Let's check it out. I guess it doesn't, but to me, that's his most famous work. And there might be huge Danny Elfman fans out there that said, oh, no. But that's what I think of when I think of Danny Elfman. But go on.
Yeah, I mean, everyone must have surely has heard that song. But whether they realize it's Danny Elfman or not, yeah, everyone's heard it, surely.
Yeah.
So by 1993, Danny had done 5 movies with Tim Burton, 2 Batman movies, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So there's that connection there with Paul Rubens, Beetlejuice, and Edward Scissorhands. And has done 16 films to date with Tim Burton. He had earned a Grammy for Batman and an Oscar nomination for Burton's Big Fish.
I don't remember Big Fish.
What? Scotland, what is going on with you? That is Tim Burton's masterpiece. It's based on a book, but they really changed it from the book. I read the book last year. It's phenomenal, Scott. I think it's Tim Burton's best film. Love it.
Okay.
I have seen it. I've just quickly threw that into Google, and I have seen that.
Okay. I haven't seen it, but I'll check it out on your recommendation. You haven't steered me wrong before.
There's always a first time. Yeah. to continue, so in an interview, Danny said he felt a kinship with the character of Jack. He said he grew up as a Jewish kid without any Jewish friends, and he hated Christmas but loved Halloween. He didn't discover Christmas until he had his children and learned to appreciate it by trying to make it special for them, as we do as parents. At the time, he was also wanting to leave his band Oingo Boingo, where he was the frontman, and he was looking for a door out of the band, similar to how Jack was an important member of Halloween Town, but also wanted out.
Can I just add something about Danny Elfman? Interesting fact.
Yes.
So he's married to Bridget Fonda, and she was, like, you know, at the peak of her career, and they got married, and then she sort of retired, and she said, no, I don't need it anymore. I thought that was interesting. You know Bridget Fonda?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, she don't do much these days. Because she married Danny Elfman. She's like, don't need to anymore.
No, doesn't have to.
That was the peak? She said, that's it? Yeah. I don't need any more?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think she was that enamored with acting. She had a really good career, and then she just decided that was it.
Yeah, good for her. Glad she's happy. I've got some info on the song. Jack Skellington's songs were sung by Danny Elfman, as we mentioned, and the actor Chris Sarandon supplied the speaking voice for him.
Can I make a point about that as well? Quick one.
Yep.
I didn't know this until we were doing the research. So Chris Sarandon, the voice guy for Jack Skellington, was married to Susan Sarandon. Before that, her maiden name was Tomalin, and that's why she's Susan Sarandon. And then he got divorced, but she kept the name. And I only found that out through researching this. There you go.
I was looking up Chris Sarandon as well to try to figure out, did I know him from something? Was he a famous voice? Was he a doctor on ER? I think I read a few other things. I said, oh yeah, I might know him from that. But nothing was a massive standout that said, oh, I absolutely know who he is.
Wasn't he in
Princess Bride?
Princess Bride, yeah, he was in that.
He was the baddie in that.
Yeah, so he's been in a lot of those sort of, let's not call them B-rolls, but he's one of those actors that's just there.
Yeah. So the tempo of the song is 81 beats per minute. Dwayne, you put a note in here that it's counted in double time. Can you explain that? I've never quite understood double time.
Yeah, so double time is essentially just twice the beats per minute. So 81 is the actual tempo of the song, but it can also be written out and counted at 162 beats per minute. Really, it sounds exactly the same, but it's just depending on whoever's putting it onto the sheets. It just lends itself to being played at both tempos, and yet it'll sound the same.
You also noted that it's in three-quarter time. I didn't notice that. Now, when we're listening to it, I'm probably going to start noticing it. And you can count three-quarter time as 1-2-3, 1-2-3, yeah. 1-2-3.
Yeah, there's a lot of songs out there in three-quarter, and you can definitely tell that's what they are. This one, it took a while for me to realize it wasn't three-quarter, that I had to go back and look at some sheet music just to make sure that what I'd researched was true. And sure enough, the sheet music also, the first two measures are actually in 4-4, and then everything else is in 3-4.
In an interview I heard with Danny Elfman, he was talking about how the song starts out as more of a score before it gets into the singing part. And it starts with harp and celeste. And I wasn't that familiar with the celeste. In fact, I didn't know that's even how it was pronounced.
Oh, you're not cultured, Scott.
I know I'm not. You British boys do it right.
What is it? What is the celeste while I'm here?
Well, here, let me show you. Because I brought a clip. It was in the style of Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky. Let me play a clip. So that's the celeste. It sounds very similar to a marimba or some of those type of percussive instruments. And while that's fresh in your head, let me play the intro to What's This? We didn't play that earlier. We started it right at the singing part. I thought that was pretty neat, Dwayne, that almost homage to the Nutcracker there. Mm. He didn't say that he specifically wrote it to be like that, but you can hear and feel the influence of it.
There's quite a few different influences in Danny's songs, and especially in this one, as you're going to mention shortly.
Yeah, I don't think I would have noticed this one, but in the interview, he goes on to say that those staccato, what's this? What's this? Lines were an homage to the Pirate King in Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance. So they were done in a tongue twister style. Let me play a clip from that.
I am the very model of a modern major general, life information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the Pikes historical, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical.
I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news.
So I can definitely hear the tie-in, but only after he pointed it out. I wouldn't have ever said, oh, that reminds me of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked that out. I'm not sure if listeners know that the staccato is just like stabbing rhythm, so to speak.
Yeah, very kind of short and terse. What's this?
Yeah.
What's this? Instead of a lyric kind of flowing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put the two together.
The other thing that he pointed out was that this song is performed Sprechgesang, which is German for spoken singing. It's a vocal technique that falls somewhere between singing and speaking. And I looked it up, Dwayne. I said, oh, there's got to be some examples of Sprechgesang.
Is it Rex Harrison?
There was one with Rex Harrison, but I didn't know what that one was. What was that one?
He was famous for it. It was My Fair Lady, and I think Dr. Doolittle as well. And someone said to him, as long as you can keep the note in mind as you're saying the words, you can just talk your way through a song. And that's what he does. So,
oh, okay.
A lot of My Fair Lady, when Rex Harrison is singing, he's not. He's just talking. If you think of, if we could talk to the animals, just imagine it.
Yeah.
That's Rex Harrison. He's very famous for it.
The clip that I brought, I thought more people, especially younger people, would be familiar with. It's Love Shack by the B-52s. I got me a car, it's as big as a whale, and we're heading on down to the Love Shack. I got me a Chrysler, and it's about 20, so hurry up and bring your jukebox money. How young are these young people you're talking about?
That song is 34 years old, Scott.
Jack, we ranged all ages here, you know, from 90 to 9. Don't underestimate our audience.
We have a very far reach. We are very popular. We have more than 10 listeners.
Yeah.
I get that, but it's the fact that Scott's claiming the young people will know that song. Goodness me.
I feel like a lot of people know Love Shack. Even if you weren't alive 30 years ago, I'm pretty sure you know of Love Shack. If I'm wrong, I don't know, write in.
Kids with cool parents know.
One thing that really got me is, I think you listened to the Song Exploder episode where Danny Elfman was talking about the song, and he was saying that he wrote the songs and he really wanted to sing them, but he didn't say that in as many words. And Tim Burton was like, I'm going to let you sing the songs, like reading his mind almost.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just let him do the whole role? I don't understand why you've got, because there's a lot of singing.
I don't know.
And I don't get why they bothered with Chris Sarandon, because it's not like he's a massive name that was going to sell the film. And also, this is the bit that really gets me. You know, right at the very end where he bangs into the signpost and he says, what is this? Dunk, dunk. And he looks up and the sign comes into focus and he says, Christmas Town. And this is my question. Is that Danny Elfman or is that Chris Sarandon? Because he's talking. So what is it? I don't know. We may never know.
Well, we have Danny Elfman on the line. Okay. We don't have Danny Elfman on the line after all. I don't know. That's a good question, Jack. If you had to guess, what do you think it would be? My guess would be that was Danny Elfman that says Christmas Town.
Same.
Yeah.
But until we can get him on the show, we're just going to have to make a guess. And since you brought up the Song Exploder episode, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want people to know where I got most of my information from. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. It's a great 20-minute episode interview with Danny. It's not really an interview. It's more just him talking. But there were some really funny bits, and it made me like Danny Elfman a lot. And he was talking about wanting to sing these songs because he had really grown attached to them, but was kind of afraid to ask Tim Burton, didn't know how he was going to bring it up. And he said that if they had said, yeah, no, we need to hire a professional singer, he was going to go along with it. But he said there would have been a series of unfortunate accidents over and over. And these singers keep getting killed. And eventually he was going to have to do it. I have some versions of the song. And one of them that I want to play is Danny Elfman singing live at Lincoln Center. And it's neat to see him actually do the singing. So if you go into the show notes and follow the link, you can watch him sing. It's only a minute long, but I've never seen the two together. I've heard his voice and I've seen him sing, but I've never seen him sing the Nightmare Before Christmas song. So here he goes.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this?
What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. Then in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look! What's this? They're hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! They're gathering around to hear a story. Roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree. How queer, and who would ever think, and why?
I like that because in that Song Exploder interview, Danny talks about how Jack's singing voice is not the same as Danny's natural singing voice. He says that he gave Jack a much wider dynamic range with the loudness and the softness. And when you listen to him singing that, especially, I really should say, watch him sing that, you can really see him be this character of Jack. And it doesn't look like when you see him singing anything else normally. Does that make sense, Dwayne?
Yeah. In fact, as we get into these versions, to me, that's one of the things they're lacking in a lot of the versions we're going to listen to. The dynamics, the ownership of the song.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're his songs, and he owns them and loves them and just really immerses himself in it, that it comes out in the performance.
Yeah, there's something magical about watching him perform these songs. It's not just a musician playing the music. You really have to see it, and you can follow the clip in the show notes. Dwayne, you mentioned doing an episode of Tinseltoons in the before times, and I believe you were talking about the Nightmare Revisited album. Is that correct?
Yes, I think that was the 15th anniversary where they did had a lot of the songs sung by other artists.
Yeah. So that was 2008. That would have been the 15th anniversary. And the band Fallout Boy did the version of What's This? And I brought a clip.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside.
Dwayne, now that you pointed it out, even just the Fall Out Boy singer, which his name does not come to mind, saying, what's this? It felt very flat compared to Danny Elfman's version.
Yeah.
There just wasn't a lot of inflection in it. Now, don't get me wrong, that was a good version, but it does lack something that the original has.
Yeah, it feels like that they just turned up, did the recording, then went and had a beer.
That's a good idea. We should go do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have some other versions of the song today. This is not like some of the carols that we do, Dwayne, where we can find, oh, here's a reggae version, here's a ska version, here's a country version. The farthest people seem to go with this is giving it more of a rock feel, but I do have some interesting covers of it. The first one is an orchestral version, and this is a French one. This is by the Orchestre Philharmonique de Radio France. That was part of a medley, but it was very lively and bright. I would like to see that orchestra performing all the songs from the movie. I think that would be cool. It is interesting when you hear another instrument do what would be the vocal part. And I thought that was kind of fun, but yeah, it's a little hard to differentiate the score introduction to the song from the original.
That is true.
Yeah, I did like the way that what was missing from a lot of these versions was actually present in here, because they did have the instruments doing the highlights and the stabs and you know, the liveliness of the song. So
it was very bright as well. I liked that. I have an a cappella version by a band called Voice Play. Dwayne, I think we've done Voice Play before. Does that sound familiar?
We have.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this?
But seriously? What is this? Ew.
There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost on every window. I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside.
I really like that, and if you're not listening on headphones, go check out the link in the show notes and listen to it with headphones on. It's a beautiful production. The views expressed by Scott Newman are not necessarily those of the Tinseltoons podcast or its affiliates, I guess. You can be honest, Dwayne. If you didn't like it, you can tell me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I liked it.
I didn't like it because there was too much going on. Even though the song has a lot going on, there was too much going on that seemed childish to me.
Okay.
Though, you know, being an a cappella group, they did do the reflections and, you know, the liveliness, because you wouldn't want an a cappella group to turn up and all sing flat. So they did put in there what was missing from other versions, but it's not a version that I would put on a playlist.
I think I just get wowed when these groups do all of that percussive stuff, you know, with their voices and their bodies. I don't know. I find that fun. And I think I was just impressed by that. What did you think, Jack?
Well, that was one of the ones that I watched, actually. And I did like it, mainly because most of the other ones, like I said, they slowed it down and tried to make it more, well, miserable. Whereas that one was one of the ones that was really joyful. And I liked watching the guys, actually. They seemed to be having fun, which is what you should be, because that's a song. It's a fun song.
It is fun to watch this song be performed. Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's an extra element to it.
The problem is, with it being a cappella, it wasn't quite as full as the original one. It is a big, full song, and the sound was a little bit more empty, but I liked it.
It's a hard act to follow when you have a full orchestra and a Danny Elfman production.
That is true.
I have a rock version by an artist that goes by Nate Wants to Battle.
What's this?
Dwayne, I like that. There was a lot of energy in that. I know my percussion ears are naive compared to yours, but it really stood out to me.
It did, and I do like that version. Once again, a little bit more power in the voice would have done that song just a little bit extra, but overall, I did like that version. Yeah, it was very good.
The heavy guitar really lends itself well to this song.
Yeah, this song lends itself very well to the heavier rock style.
Jack, you're making a face. You didn't like it?
Nah.
All right, well, tough crowd here. Maybe the next one will do it for you. Yeah. I've got a solo piano version by an artist named Natalia Plays Piano. What I like about that are the dynamics of the piano. You get the soft and the loud, and obviously that was the whole thing about the piano forte. With a harpsichord back in classical time, you didn't have the ability to do dynamics with it, and this instrument you do. I just like that.
Yeah.
Also, watch her fingers. It's a lot of work. It was impressive to see one person be able to do that.
It's funny because solo piano music doesn't appeal to me as much as an acoustic guitar or saxophone. I do like those instruments more as an instrument, but this is a great version. She's very busy on the keyboard.
Yes, busy is a great word. There was a lot of technical prowess there. I thought it was an impressive feat. You know, we know it as the orchestra version with all these parts, and still to be able to capture all those, and it's a single person on a single instrument, I don't know, it just impressed me.
Mm.
It didn't impress Jack, I can see his face.
Quite the opposite, actually. I really enjoyed it. What was the young lady's name again?
It's Natalia Plays Piano.
The problem is, Natalia Plays Piano, but Natalia doesn't sing, because I was just waiting for the vocals to come in, and I thought it was lovely. I was thinking, oh, I can't wait to hear her vocals. And she didn't bother. That was the only problem, but I really liked it. I liked that a lot. I thought it translated well to the piano.
Yeah. Do you ever see those videos on YouTube where it's like a piano is sitting in some public place and a person sits down and plays something and you get this big crowd that kind of comes around them?
Yeah.
I would love to be there and see something like this happen with this song. Dwayne, I think you're right. I'm not going to listen to an entire album of solo piano from Nightmare Before Christmas stuff, but it would really impress me to see somebody do this. That, I think that's what really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think the problem is I need the lyrics. I need to hear the singing. That's what makes a song for me.
All right, I got another one then. This is Ukulele by an artist named Thomas Benjamin Wilde.
What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone dappy? What is this? What's this? There are children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost on every window and I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside.
Okay, musically that was a very light version, but I love Thomas Benjamin Wilde. If you've never seen his really, really popular song on YouTube, it's No More F's to Give, and I'm censoring the word there. It is not for small ears. It is absolutely hilarious. And Jack, I did see your ears perk up there because you were recognizing the accent. You felt like you were at home.
I did think it was British, yeah. I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah, you know, maybe we needed two ukuleles.
Yeah. His name is listed as Thomas Benjamin Wilde, ESQ. I believe that's Esquire.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I thought that means you're a lawyer.
Yeah, but it does. That is, I forget what the word is that it goes at the end of your name if you are a lawyer, but I'm guessing maybe he is a lawyer. Maybe that's the deal.
Okay, well, the ukulele lawyer. Good version there, Thomas Benjamin Wilde.
Once again, though, it was just lacking the emphasis on, like, when he goes, what's this? And then Jack, you went, what's this? But it wasn't there.
Yeah, Jack has been singing along with every version here. I've been muting him.
I've been miming.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been really getting into it, and it's been a sight to see. Unfortunately, this is an audio medium and you can't get the full effect.
Just imagine the real Jack Skellington, really.
Yeah.
Dwayne, I brought a version for you today. This is a metal version, and the artist, her name is Lauren Babick. So it's a female voice, which we only have two of today, and it's metal. So here we go.
What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely know it's dead. There's frost in every window.
Okay, Dwayne, I'm hoping this one actually makes you happy, because this artist, Lauren Babick, she really has a lot of vocal inflection there. It was all, what's this? And you could feel it. It did not feel like a flat performance.
No, I'm quite familiar with Lauren's music.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I do like the fact that she gave the lyrics what it deserved, which is the reflections, the power. It was quite muddy in the instruments, though. Nothing stood out much except for the guitar and the drums, whereas, as we know, the song itself's got a lot of lot of other instruments in there that sort of peeked through. But her performance, blew it out of the water.
I really liked some of the guitar flourishes that were added. There was a lot of lead guitar noodling, for lack of a better word, but I thought it really added something. It was a lightness and a little bit of joviality that the original has in spades, obviously.
Yeah, I think it just needed a bit of space in between some of those instruments.
What do you think, Jack?
Problem is, when you're singing heavy metal, it's got an angry sound to it. And this isn't an angry song.
Yeah.
So then when I was listening to it, I was trying to accept it as the way maybe they were singing it. And if you take it out of the context of the film and you just sort of see someone saying, what is going on?
Sure.
Then that makes more sense than me wanting it to be a light, wondrous, lovely tune.
It's a great point. You could not put it in the film. You could not substitute it because it wouldn't fit. But I do like to hear these other takes on the song and putting their own spin on it. I thought that was a little bit fun. The next version I have is jazz version, and the artist's name is Disney Dave. I don't think there was anything standout about that track, other than it was fun to hear it in a different genre, and a genre that was really of itself. It wasn't just a rock version of the song. Dwayne, you know me, I love jazz in general, but the percussion there, it was fun, and it was a neat interpretation of the song. That's why I brought it.
Yeah, when it started, I didn't like the tempo, but when it slowed down, I enjoyed it a lot more.
You know what? Now that you're pointing it out, yes, it did slow down dramatically, didn't it? That's pretty neat. Mm,
yeah.
That's funny because I feel the other way. I liked it at the start, and then when it slowed down, I want the happy. I want to be high on the happy side. That's what I'm looking for. That's an instrumental all the way through, is it, Scott?
Yes, it is. And it's part of a medley, too. That's just a very short clip. It's a full Nightmare medley song that's a few minutes long. All right, Jack, let's see if this one does it for you then. This is a club remix by an artist called F This Remix.
I can't believe my eyes, I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack, this isn't fair. What's this?
You know, if nothing else, Jack, that could be your walk-up music for various things in your life.
Yeah.
We could just play that like it's your theme song.
Do you know what I was going to say? How can I not love a song where they say my name over and over and over? Yeah, that was fantastic. Better than the original. No, not really. Didn't care for it.
Maybe the girls could hook it up so every time you come into the house, that's what plays. That could be your doorbell or something. That'd be great.
At least my ringtone. Maybe I'll set up as my ringtone.
That's what I was thinking too.
It was interesting to see a couple of remixes of it. It was just kind of funny, and I wanted to put that one in there.
Mm.
The next one, I hesitate to call this a genre because it, the only thing I wrote down was female singer. And that sounds very misogynistic. But my point was, most of these are male voices. And obviously the original was male. It was nice and refreshing to hear a female vocal of this beyond the Lauren Babbitt one, which was really very metal. This is one that plays it very straight, but I think her voice is nice. It's an artist that goes by Caroline Makes Music.
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost on every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look. What's this? They're hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired. They're gathering around to hear a story. Roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this?
Dwayne, we're going to beat the same drum over and over here.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, she was definitely putting energy into the vocal performance. I didn't care for some of the background music. It was a little stale to me, but I liked her voice a lot.
Yeah, she turned up to do a job.
Turned up to do the work. That's funny.
Yep, and yeah, she did. I was thinking as we were listening, is that a track that she got that was vocal less?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Almost like a karaoke style track, and she did the vocal.
Yeah, the background could be better, I suppose, just to make the song a little bit more powerful, perhaps. But her voice really did the job.
Well, good. I hope that's the case, because I was criticizing the music, but I liked her singing.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly with that. It's like the doorbell was ringing in the background. Go and answer the doorbell and then sing your song. Don't sing while someone's at your door.
Yeah.
But I loved her delivery. I thought her delivery was almost as good as Danny Elfman. It was, like I keep saying, I'm desperate for the joyfulness and the wonder, and she was putting that right in there. Very good job.
Well, you're not going to like the next one, Jack, because this is our obligatory chiptune version, the old video games.
Oh, I was looking forward to this. So here we go.
Okay, well, we'll see what you think. This is a chiptune by an artist named Professor Shy Guy. That was one of the better chiptune versions I've ever heard, Dwayne, of any song. A lot of times they're very shrill and screechy.
Yep.
And that one was a lot of fun and really made me wish there was some sort of old retro video game that had a Christmas theme.
I really like that. I'm not one for chiptunes really, because as you say, they're shrill, especially when you listen to them in headphones.
They can be unpleasant to listen to.
Yeah, but that one was very pleasant. And I think I ended up listening to the whole thing when you put it in the notes. Whether I'll listen to it again, though, I'm not sure. But definitely it was fun.
I don't know what the occasion would be that I'm like, oh, the right piece of music right now is some chiptune. I just like hearing it because it gives me happy, nostalgic feelings for youth because I grew up with No Friendo. That was a big part of my life back in the day.
If I was still working in retail and having control over the Christmas playlist, I would have put that on just for the fun of it.
It was a good enough version that it had legs.
Yeah.
You could play it and nobody would say, like, what in the world are you doing? Does that give you the feels, Jack? Were you a big Nintendo kid?
I liked it. Yeah, it was good. I've got plenty of time for chip tunes. Okay. I love them. And that was a good one.
Yeah. Come listen to the new podcast Jack and I are starting on Christmas chip tune music. We'll have 6 listeners.
Ooh, that's 50% more than I've got.
That was our playlist today. We played a lot of different versions. The variety wasn't quite there like we do with some of the other songs, but it was so much fun to talk about the origin of this song. I loved what you guys had to say about the different versions and what they brought to it and what was different and what was improved and what was not. Do either of you have a favorite version that stood out today? Dwayne, I'll go with you first.
Yeah, I let the cat out of the bag earlier on. That would be Lauren Babbitt's version. Followed closely by Carolyn Makes Music, voice only.
Ah, yeah. How about you, Jack?
Yeah, Carolyn Makes Music. That was really good. The others, if it's not Danny Elfman, or if it's not the original, I don't really care for it. But that one I actually would listen to again. Apart from, the doorbell in the background. Could have done without that.
Jack, tell the good people how they can find more Jack in their life.
I don't know. No one seems to be able to find any more Jack. I told you, I've got 3 listeners, 4, sometimes 4. If it's a good episode, I'll get 4 listeners. But I'll tell you an interesting fact. For the first three episodes, I had no one listening. Then I had someone listening somewhere for another 2 episodes. Then they stopped listening. And then Dwayne was kind enough to plug my show. And before I knew it, I had 3 listeners, sometimes 4.
I found your show because of Dwayne's recommendation. I was hungry for more Christmas content.
Yeah, that's how you found it, Scott. That's how we became friends.
I've said it before, and I am not just blowing smoke up your rear end. You are my favorite Christmas podcast.
Well, better than Tinsel Tunes.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, that show is shambles.
It doesn't know what it's doing, that show. It's all over the place.
The kind of humor that you bring to your show is just my speed.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it, and I look forward every 2 weeks to it coming out. And for us in the U.S., it comes out on Saturday at 6 p.m. our time. So it's perfect because, by the time it's downloaded and done all that, it's usually I put the kid to bed and then it's like, oh, I get to sit down and have a whiskey and listen to Jack's show now. And that's always a good way to spend an hour on a Saturday night.
Yeah, I usually listen through the weekend, in particular on a Sunday and or the previous week sometimes. And I usually listen while I'm mowing the lawns, because I was saying to Jack earlier on, the average length of the episodes pretty much is the same time it takes for me to mow my front and back lawns.
Yeah, what's bad is if I do a short episode, he only mows half the lawn.
Yeah, exactly. He just stops. He leaves the mower sitting there.
Just stop. Yeah. Yeah. And the wife goes, why didn't you finish? You go, well, Jack's podcast was short. I don't know what to do now.
Jack, you do a great job. I would suggest everybody go out there and listen to the Total Christmas Podcast. You can find it at totalchristmaspodcast.com and you know, find it on your podcast app of choice. If you like Jack today, oh gosh, you're going to like him in full spirit.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Yeah, kids, listen to my show, please.
If you're not sure if you're going to like Jack's show, Dwayne and I are going to be on there very soon. So we will let you know, but you should definitely watch for that. It will bring up the entire show. It'll be great.
You know it.
Well, that about does it today. Dwayne, after this month, after we got through spooky season here, this is really our prime time, the November and December episodes. So we're going to come back and we're going to do probably the carols that we've been saving up. I don't know what they are yet. If anybody has something they want to hear, you can let us know if it gets to us in time. But do expect a real, like, straight down the middle episode in November and December.
Yep. I'm thinking we'll definitely do an old school Christmas carol. I would love people to send in some ideas that maybe we haven't done before. They might already be on our list.
Yep.
But it'd be quite nice to see what people want to listen to.
Looking forward to it, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. If you want to get more information about the show, you can go to tinseltunes.com or you can email us tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. But until next month, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Happy Christmas.